I've always been intrigued by what is known as a coaching tree. I'm sure it applies to other sports, but I'm especially familiar with it from football, from the NFL, where one coach's influence is traced and is seen, their impact is seen to the coaches that were trained under them, or their assistant coaches, or their positional coaches, where they ended up coaching elsewhere, other teams where they were a head coach or another coach, and what success they had. One such example was Mike Shanahan's coaching tree. He was the head coach of the Denver Broncos and what was known as, at that time, as the Los Angeles Raiders and the Washington Redskins. And I'm not going to bore many of you with the ins and outs of all of these coaches and who they specifically are, but for our purposes, suffice it to say that these on these lists became coaches elsewhere, so they moved on from Mike Shanahan, and they had varying degrees of success. And it shows the impact of that top guy, Mike Shanahan, the impact he had on these men, the things that he passed on to them, maybe the advice he gave, the example he was to them. And though he's not coaching anymore, his impact lives on, and it can be traced through several generations of coaches. And today we come to such a text that shows us such a thing, such mentorship, such impact and influence in the church. So not in the NFL, but in the church, the God-honoring impact and influence that one can have upon the up-and-coming generations. So today really begins a two-part series on Acts 16, 1 through 5, and we're going to find some ways that God grows the local church. That's what we find in this passage, and there's context to our passage today. In Acts 15, 36, from last week, how our passage began, it said, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" And of course, if you're here with us last week, we saw these two split. Barnabas and Paul did not go out together, but they ended up splitting. But they originally began with the desire to check in on the churches. And we saw that Paul does exactly this with Silas, who he goes with in Acts 15:41. Our passage last week closed by saying, "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So they actually went to churches that Paul and Barnabas didn't plant. They went to some other churches that we're not sure exactly where their roots were from or who started these churches. But Paul goes and he travels, and I'll have a map up in a minute of where these churches were. But we find that they helped these churches. They strengthened them. They helped them grow stronger in their trust in the Lord. And then our passage begins this week. So we're kind of tracing them along on this beginning of this missionary journey. In Acts 16:1, our passage begins this week by saying, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra." I'll put a map up here. It is that, I believe it's a purple line, starting in Antioch, and then you can probably see the blue circle. That is the Syria and Cilicia, so that's where they began, and then they move up to the red circle here in our passage in Derbe and Lystra. And if you remember, these are places that Paul and Barnabas had been before, and they had planted churches there. So they knew these Christians, they knew these disciples personally, and I'd even add that it actually was at Lystra where Paul was almost stoned to death. He almost lost his life for the sake of the gospel. And the fact he would come back here, and actually this is the second time he came back since then, it shows the priority that he placed upon the local church, that he would ever risk his life going back to a place that his life was wanted for the sake of the gospel. But he goes back for the church, to help the church. And we see the help, and we're going to actually skip to the end of our passage, as it's a very important verse. In Acts 16:5, we see the help that they brought these churches in Derbe and Lystra, as it says at the end of our passage in Acts 16:5, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." So through Paul and Silas's ministry, these churches grew. And I say that they grew both spiritually. They become stronger in the faith, as it says they were strengthened in the faith, and they also grew numerically. People were added, not necessarily just to the church, but they came to know Christ. They were sharing the gospel, and we'll look at that in a couple of weeks when we come to part two of this passage. But the disciples mature, they grow deeper in the faith, more people to come to know Jesus. And we could ask the question, as we think about verse 5, how did this come about? How were they strengthened, or how are they strengthened? How do new converts come about, humanly speaking? You could ask it this way, how does God grow the local church? And that's what this passage answers. This passage, we're going to find three ways in which God, or how God grows the local church, three ways that he does it. There's certainly more that we can find in the scriptures. And today, one of these will be the focus. And as I said, in 2 weeks, we'll come back. We'll look at the other two, as next week is communion. We'll get the other two answers as to how the church grows in a couple of weeks. But we'll move to the first way, and this will be our theme, the first way in which God, how he grows the local church, and that is God works through the development and use of the up-and-coming generation in our church to grow the church. God works through the development and the use of the up-and-coming generation in our church to grow the church. And there's a key phrase that we're going to really zero in on today, and it's an easily passed over phrase, and it's in Acts 16, verse 3, in which it says, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And I'd submit to you there is much more here than may immediately meet the eye. This seems like a pretty passing statement. Oh, nice. Timothy joins Paul, and then we just move on to the next phrases and verses. But rather, we find deep truths that are key for our discipling, for our helping people follow Jesus and serve Jesus with their lives in the church. So as we consider this, we're going to have 3 points. We're going to break this first way in which God grows the local church. We'll break it down into 3 points, and I will tell you ahead of time that the first one is by far the longest. It's actually going to take up the majority of our message as it lays the scriptural foundation for the rest of what we're going to talk about and what we'll see. And the other two really are additional points of application. So 3 points. The first will be the raising and the training up of the next generation that we see in our text. Second, the willingness to be ministered to by our own. And then third, the sending and going out of those we have raised and trained up. So first, the raising and the training up of the next generation. The question we have to begin with, or our text actually begins with and answers is, who is Timothy? Who is this that Paul wants to bring along with him on his second missionary journey? We first find in our passage Timothy's spiritual state, and that is, he was a believer. He was a follower of Christ. As Acts 16:1 says, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and then it says, a disciple was there named Timothy. So it's made clear to us right off the bat that Timothy was a Christian. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. At this point, he would have been very young. We know him later in, especially the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy, is probably around the age of 30, maybe early 40s. But here we're dealing with a very young man, probably a teenager, but he knows the Lord as Savior. Second, we're told of his family situation. He was the son of a mixed household, both ethnically and spiritually, as Acts 16:1 goes on and it says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So we find his mom had placed her faith and her trust in Jesus, and further, we find out that she was a Jew. And as we think about her being a believer, she may have very well come to know the Lord through Paul's previous ministry. As I said, he had been in Derbe and Lystra before. He had been in there, Timothy, in his mom's city of Derbe. This might have been through Paul's preaching the gospel, through this church being planted, that she came to know the Lord. But his dad, we're told, on the other hand, he seems not to have been a believer. He's said to be a Greek, a Gentile, not a Jew. And the fact that it's absent, we're not told that he was a believer as Timothy's mom was, I believe we can conclude that his dad did not know the Lord. We're going to consider the significance of such a household being mixed in such a way in just a moment. But the third thing and the last thing that we're told in our text about Timothy is that he had a good reputation. As Acts 16:2 goes on to say, he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So the churches in the surrounding areas, Lystra and Iconium, which would have been fairly close by, they were familiar with Timothy first, and second, they knew of him, and they thought highly of him. Okay, his character and his faith, as we think about it, was so excellent and admirable that somehow word had spread about this young man, this young disciple, Timothy. So that's who Timothy is. The second question I want to ask and answer is, how did Timothy get to this point? Okay, how did he come to faith? How did he grow in godliness? How did he develop? And certainly, as we think about this, it wouldn't have been his father that would have had this impact. Often sons who have believing fathers, it is their father who has poured into them, trained them up in the faith, taught them the word of God. But we can't say this for Timothy, but we can say it was through his mother, and even it was through his grandmother. How exactly Timothy came to faith, his exact story of salvation, we don't know that, but we can say without a shadow of a doubt that it was his mother and his grandmother, who were both believers, that raised young Timothy up to know God and his word. They raised them up in the ways of the Lord, and we know this from other scriptures. I'm going to jump out of Acts, first to 2 Timothy 1:5, that Paul writes this letter of 2 Timothy to Timothy. Paul writes it to Timothy after our text this morning when Timothy was pastoring a church. He says this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." We also get this in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15, the impact that his mother and his grandmother had, as it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." That's the scriptures, the word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we see Timothy's mom and his grandma, as we look at 2 Timothy, were examples of the faith. They believed in Jesus first, and they additionally, as we find in 2 Timothy, they taught him the scriptures, teaching him the gospel, instructing him in how it looks like to live after and follow the word of God with his life. We could say that God used Timothy's mom and grandma to bring him to the place he was when he met Paul. Okay, when Paul showed up, his mother and his grandmother had a great influence in bringing him to that place that he would believe, that he had such a reputation. So we conclude for application. We see how God can bring a child to faith where one parent believes in the Lord and the other does not. Okay, possibly this was a household at odds as we think about them believing different things. Parents who had major differences. God had overcome maybe such negative or potentially negative influence of an unbelieving parent. As we think about this, we shouldn't conclude that, as we think about Timothy's mother and father, that this should be an example and make us think that it's right for Christians and non-Christians to get married, as Timothy's mother may have very well only come to faith after this marriage. But we do see how God can work in a child nonetheless. He can even bring a son, a child to maturity despite the lack of a father who teaches and trains him up in the faith. So we think about Timothy's mother. We find that God can work mightily through just one parent. God can use mothers in a mighty way. God uses grandmothers to make a real spiritual impact upon their grandchildren. We learn this from Timothy. Also, as you think about Timothy, and such a point as we think about this household of in Lois and Eunice's discipleship of young Timothy, we see how God used discipleship in the home to ready Timothy to go with Paul. The home readied him for ministry. Certainly if Timothy wasn't a Christian, Paul probably wouldn't have brought him, actually I would say Paul wouldn't have brought him along on this missionary journey. Certainly if he had a poor reputation, Paul would not have brought Timothy along on this second missionary journey. But through discipleship in the home, God prepared this man to serve him. Parents, you can prepare your children for service to the Lord someday in His church, even if you don't know exactly what that might be, how they might exactly serve, how God might use them. You can prepare them. You can teach them the scriptures, as we find Lois and Eunice did. You can talk with them about how they might serve the Lord in His church. You can talk to your sons about being pastors. You can talk to your sons and daughters about serving as missionaries to share the gospel and being involved in starting churches. Much progress can be done in these early years, in teen years, as we see with Timothy, who is still a teen. This ultimately strengthens the church. What Timothy's mother and grandmother did ended up benefiting their church, as we find in verse 5. And honestly, it ended up benefiting the greater church, the Big C church, as Timothy ended up ministering to many, many local churches and believers over the years serving with Paul. Certainly God can call and He can work up in a family that doesn't do these things, but we see in our text this morning how God can use a home that intentionally trains their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord to serve Him. Now let's think about Paul. How does Paul raise and train Timothy up? I want us to look back at our text and consider Paul's raising and his training up that we find in our text. And we come back to this key phrase that says again, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. Though Timothy's father wasn't a spiritual father to him, Timothy would not be without one. Okay, as we find, Paul takes up the mantle, and that is what is loaded into such a statement here in the beginning of verse 3. In verse 3, it's not only Paul just bringing Timothy along for the ride, or even as a co-worker, like Silas more so seems to be, but Paul was bringing Timothy along to train him up. It's what's loaded into such a phrase, to mentor him, to be like a father is to a son in the faith. In verse 3, this is where Timothy joined this missionary team, but I submit to you, it is so much more than that. This is the start of years of discipleship between Paul, or with Paul, with Timothy. And interestingly enough, as we think about Timothy in our text today, we actually only have him mentioned another 5 times in the book of Acts. Oftentimes, he's behind the scenes, in the background, going along with Paul in his journeys. But it's in these years, it's in the book of Acts, that Timothy was being trained up in the faith and in the ministry. And again, I want to point us to Paul's letters, where we see such a thing. We see Paul and Timothy's relationship. It says in Philippians 2:22, Paul says, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." 1 Timothy 1:2, he says to Timothy, "My true child in the faith." And then similar in 2 Timothy 1:2, it says to Timothy, "My beloved child." So Paul speaks of him again and again as his spiritual son. He was someone whom Paul would spend his time with. Our text is just the beginning. Timothy would get to observe Paul. He would often get to see the example of Paul walking with the Lord. He would get to hear his teaching from the Word of God. He would get to hear his thoughts on certain subjects, all kinds of subjects. He would get to see Paul handle difficult situations, and so he would learn from his spiritual father, Paul. In 2 Timothy 3:10 through 11, it's an important text as we think about Paul. In Timothy's relationship, he brings this exact thing out. He says, "You," speaking to Timothy, "however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." Timothy would experience so much from accompanying Paul. Now, in case you're thinking that this is just something unique, okay, this is just between Paul and Timothy. It's a one-off case between these two. Remember what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did with his disciples. He called them to follow me. And we have it again and again, and for sake of time, I won't quote them, but follow me to Philip, to Peter, to Andrew, to James, to John, to Matthew. Follow me, and we are told they followed him. Paul was ultimately following the example of Jesus and doing such a thing in our text. So we think about Jesus, our God, when he came to this earth, he could have done many, many things. And one of the things he chose to do was to train up and to pour into a select few. And the point is, we see both in Paul and we see even in Jesus, they used a method of training and helping people be established in the faith by spending time with them, having them be with them, watch them do and speak as they do. And for Paul and Timothy, it all started with this initial accompanying in our passage from Acts 16:3. We're going to think about a whole lot more about this in a moment as we think about application, but as we consider doing such a thing, one thing we may say as we think about Paul and Timothy's relationship, as we think about Jesus with his disciples and us doing such a thing is, you may not think you have time to do such a thing. I'm too busy. I have to take care of my kids. I have tasks to do around the house. I have errands to run. I have a job to do. And as we think about it, so did Paul. So did Paul. Paul was going, he was going on a missionary journey, no matter if Timothy went with him or if he did not. So as we think about Paul bringing along, having Timothy join him, people can simply join you in what you are already doing, and great results can come both to them and to you, and ultimately God's kingdom, as we see between Paul, Timothy, between Jesus and his disciples. But I want to bring out another thing from this key phrase, and that is, as it says, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. It's good to point out that there was a desire. There was a desire here as Paul wanted. We see this did not happen by accident as we think about our text. It didn't just happen out of a coincidence or by accident or someone else forcing this upon Paul, but Paul intentionally sought out having Timothy join him on this journey. It was something that Paul saw great benefits in. And as you consider with me why Paul may not have wanted. So as we think about him desiring or wanting to do this, think about the reasons why Paul may not have wanted to do such a thing. What would have been the reasons not to have Timothy come along with him? First, Timothy may have slowed him down. I already said he's young. Paul bringing Timothy along with him to train him. So Paul would have had to take extra time to walk him through the ropes, to show him this is why I'm doing this, help him process things. Even Timothy may not have been much of a help to him at first. Timothy may also have caused him trouble. Think back to last week. Think back to John Mark. We're told John Mark was an assistant. See, Timothy started out as an assistant as well of some sorts. Barnabas and Paul may have been both pouring into John Mark, and we were told last week that John Mark bailed. Timothy may also bail now too. Another reason, Timothy may also cause trouble by causing conflict. Though Timothy's not in the same position as Barnabas was with Paul and Barnabas, that could have really made an impact upon Paul and made him think, I'm not going with anyone. I'm going to be a lone ranger, going to get rid of relationships and serve the Lord. But rather we find here with this phrase, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. We find that Paul saw real value in bringing along one who was younger, that he would train him up to serve the Lord. We find that Timothy did end up helping Paul in great ways. He was someone who Paul could send to help to other churches. We won't look at those texts, but it's all over in the letters. And we even know he was someone who ended up pastoring a church. And Paul called him to train up to continue what Paul did, called him to train up others, as we have in 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. Paul says to him, do what I did with you. As he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy eventually gets to the point, as Paul was, that Paul could call him to train up others. Timothy, take others under your wing. Do what I did for you with others. So as we think about the overall point of this passage, as we consider verse 5 in the growth of the church, this raising, this training up has a part. Okay, it factored into, it led into, or led to the growth of the churches as we consider the progression of these verses down to verse 5. And it's something that we need to be doing as a church as well. We've already seen it, how moms, how dads, how grandmas, how grandpas need to be doing such a thing. But we also see here, from two that were not related, such a mentoring relationship can and should exist in the church. I've had the privilege of benefiting from such a relationship. Someone who wanted me to accompany them. Someone who is a spiritual father to me. Someone who mentored me. Trained me up in the faith and in the ministry of being a pastor. Someone who I got to watch and learn from their example. Someone who taught me both publicly with the whole church through his sermons, and privately in his office. Our former senior pastor, Pastor Reed, we have a Paul Timothy type of relationship. God used him in a great way in my life, both spiritually, but also in serving as a pastor. And as we think about such relationships, these should exist all over the church. An older man taking under his wing a younger man. Maybe getting together to discuss life, their walk with God, family, marriage, fatherhood, working through maybe a book of the Bible or a Christian book together. It could be an older woman taking under her wing a young woman. Getting together to discuss life, their walk with God, family, marriage, motherhood, working through a book of the Bible or a Christian book together. This very much so could be someone who has taught kids, maybe taught teens in Sunday school for a while. Having as a helper someone who has very little experience. They haven't done really such a thing, but they have an interest. Maybe they see gifts in this person. So they take them under their wing and they share with them how to study. They let them see them teach. They let them help in some ways. They let them see how they interact with students. And they train them up to teach their own Sunday school class someday. This could be with any role in the church. Getting someone who is younger or someone you could train up to join you in it, to accompany you, so that you can show them the ropes and also help them in the faith. This is what the adult leaders of our youth fellowship program are to be or are to our teens. I love, as I think about 15 or 20 years ago, Pastor Dave, who was leading our youth fellowship program, he switched the name of the youth mentors from sponsors intentionally to mentors. And I love that switch. So teens, look at the teen girls, look at Libby and Lydia and Mackenzie and Olivia as your Paul. Teen guys, look at Pastor Wise, Josh, and Stevie as your Paul. Learn from their example. Follow their example. Ask for their advice. These Paul-Timothy relationships should be all over the church. This is one way. Certainly it's through the preaching of the word. Certainly it's through the reading of the word. And this is another way in which God grows us. He matures us. And that is through the direct influence and example and intentional mentorship of another. So think about on your drive home or talk with whoever is in the car with you, who you will seek to be a Paul to. Who will you be a Paul to? And let me just make this comment. Let's remember, I'm not making many Jareds. You're not making many people of yourselves. But you are, as Paul said, he said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You are passing on the views and ultimately the word of God to this person and helping them shape them after the image of Christ. So who will you seek to be a Paul to? And secondly, talk about who you will seek to be a Timothy for. You're learning from someone. You have humility and you want to learn from someone's example. So that's the raising and the training up of our own, of the up-and-coming generation. As I said, this point is foundational for our second and our third point, ultimately bringing out what this text teaches us. So second, we get the willingness to be ministered to by our own. As we consider Acts 16, and as Paul recruits Timothy to join him and seeks to mentor him, we find that in our passage in the beginning of Timothy accompanying Paul, they are ministering to Timothy's very own people. Look at our text in these verses, or at least verse 3, the rest of verse 3 and verse 4 weren't our focus this morning, but I want to read them especially for this point as it brings out that Timothy was serving his very own people. Paul was serving Timothy's people, as it says in Acts 16, 3 through 5. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places where Timothy lived. For they all knew, they had knowledge of him, that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches, Timothy's church, surrounding churches right in that area, were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So in our second study, in 2 weeks, we'll deal with the majority of these verses. But a real simple point here is that we get a real sense of these disciples and churches receiving the ministry of Paul and his team. Okay, Timothy's hometown, his home church, those that knew him were receiving the ministry of Paul and his team. And who is on that team now, as we were told back in verse 3, it's Timothy, the young man, one of their own, Timothy. Before Timothy serves anywhere else, at the very beginning of his training and his ministry, he's ministering among his own, those he grew up with, those that watched him grow up. And we see here there is no bucking against Timothy. He's too young, or simply not accepting him since they know him. And certainly, as we've already considered, his reputation was good, and this certainly helps. And they made moves so that he could better minister, but the congregations could have still rejected him and this team that he was a part of. But in this passage, we see a real reception of this team in which Timothy was a part of, was serving on. Sorry, I forgot to switch that. But the reality is, in the church, for the church to go on and move forward, those who may be far younger than us that we have seen grow up must rise up to serve and lead in the church, and we must accept this and cheer them on. There must continuously be young people raised up to take over the roles of those who have stepped down or maybe those who have passed away. And these often will be individuals that are younger than you, those you took care of in the nursery, those you taught in Sunday school. You may have even had their parents in Sunday school. And we see here a great example of receiving their ministry, growing, being strengthened from the proclamation of the Word of God from them, supporting the decisions that they make on committees and boards, letting them serve in the church and encouraging them to be used of the church. And in saying all this, don't hear me saying that we don't do such a thing. I've received such support. I can think of my early years as a teen and the encouragements that people gave me as a younger, or even as a younger pastor. The fact that people way older than me would let me come and visit them, let me read the scriptures to them, let me pray with them and for their needs. You as a church have been so willing to be ministered to by the next generation. It shows in your support of us three pastors, of Olivia. It shows in your support of young elders and deacons serving. It shows in your support, your encouragement of interns that train in our church. And so I bring this out from the Word as an application to encourage us to keep it up, to keep it up, to keep up the mentality of letting those who are younger, less experienced, be involved in the work of Lebanon Bible Fellowship Church and cheer them on. Cheer them on as this ultimately strengthens the church, as we find in our passage, as we see it did for the congregations of Derbe and Lystra. And now our third and our last point. And that is the sending and the going out of those we have raised and trained up. I want us to consider the fact that we're told the churches are strengthened in verse 5, but they are losing one of their promising believers. Okay, Paul doesn't keep Timothy there, or he doesn't train him up and just keep him there, but he takes him away. Takes him away from this area. Paul is going to be going all over the place, away from Derbe, away from Lystra. He's going to send Timothy out to other churches, other areas, as we know from Paul's letter. Timothy is going to end up pastoring a church that is not his home church. It's not from Derbe or from Lystra. We see in our passage that though an up-and-coming leader is going out from them, going out from Derbe to serve in a different capacity, God uses this not to weaken that church, but as we see in verse 5, he uses it or he grows them stronger despite it. As again, our passage will close by saying, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. This is even though Timothy is going out from them to serve other people and churches. And as we consider this, we are a church that has and continues to prioritize the training up of pastors. It's in our DNA. Our pastoral staff makes this quite clear. But God has richly blessed us here at Lebanon BFC with young men who feel called to be pastors. And he's given our elder board a great passion for this, a great desire to see this happen and make intentional moves to foster such a ministry. And God has granted all of you a spirit of support for such a work. But as we consider this reality, the more and more pastors we train up, the more we send out. We will not be retaining all of these men that we train up who love the Lord, who are gifted to serve as pastors, which, as I began, may seem like a weakening process, that this would somehow weaken our church to take away those in which are gifted, are promising leaders. But we see in our passage as we come to verse 5, that God actually uses it. And another variable, as we consider the book of Acts and some of the challenges that we've gotten in these messages, is for those who would be sent out from us as missionaries. So we've considered those who were scattered from the Jerusalem church, as we've considered Paul and Barnabas' example, there very well may be those in the future who should go out from us. That God is calling to serve him globally by going to other countries to make disciples and start churches, or maybe even maybe a little bit more local by another state, but still being sent out to plant a church or to help the work of a church planter. This may seem counterproductive. It may seem weakening. But again, we see from this text that God strengthened these churches despite Paul taking Timothy with him. So as we anticipate God sending homegrown pastors or homegrown interns out from us, it should be something that we are okay with, something we should support, and even something we're excited about. As we consider our sons and our daughters going out from us to serve as a missionary, though hard, we should be encouraged from this passage as we consider Timothy leaving his mother. That's what he's doing here. Paul's taking him away from his mother. He's going to accompany Paul rather than accompanying her. Timothy leaving his mother, but she could know the work that God did through her and trust the work that God would do through her son to serve him. So in closing, as we consider our passage this morning in this first way that God grows his church, may God give us a culture here at Lebanon BFC, a culture of developing those that are up and coming to serve the Lord and root them on as they do so. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we consider such a text, Lord, we thank you for your word. We even thank you for how it connects as we were in different portions of Scripture this morning. But Lord, we see how it connects, how it adds in details. And Lord, we have such a great example before us of Paul and Timothy. How you use Paul in a mighty way in Timothy's life, the example that he was, the things that he taught him, the things that Timothy could just pick up as he watched Paul teach and serve, as he saw him encounter difficult hardships and situations. And Lord, I pray that such relationships would be had here at our church. Lord, through ways that we're serving, that we would get younger people involved in different committees and different ministries, that we continue to have pastors trained up, men that want to serve you and preach your word. Lord, I pray that we'd just have a culture of taking people under our wing and wanting to pour into them in their faith, that we'd want to pour into them to learn what it looks like to serve you in different capacities. And Lord, help us to never lose sight that we're not training them to look like us, but ultimately Jesus Christ. Lord, may that be our aim. Lord, I pray that this would be something that we would support, something that we would be on board with, something that you would even help us to have a passion for, be excited to see the up-and-coming generation serve you. Lord, we thank you for this example, and Lord, I pray as a church you would help us to live out such a passage. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.